learn about, you know, the prophetic dreams of John Bosco and also the different miracles that he performed. And now, in the life of John Bosco, a lot of the people who knew John Bosco, who actually, a good number of them did become saints later on. And so you can see that Turin at that time had lots of social problems. And so there have been really holy people relying on God, but also put the church teaching into practice and try to deal with different kind of issues in Turin. And those things, they also inspire one another. And so St. John Bosco, for example, he was inspired by St. Joseph Cafasso. St. Joseph Cafasso was his spiritual director, and he was a really good spiritual director and a confessor. And people who came to him for spiritual direction, a good number of them did become founders of religious communities. And also, St. Joseph Cafasso was known to be a saint who really helped the prisoner, the condemned criminal, that he helped them to die well. And so he brought comfort in the local prisons and really helped those who were condemned to death. And then another inspiration is another St. Joseph, is St. Joseph Cottolengo. St. Joseph Cottolengo, he founded different kind of institutes, and John Bosco, as a young priest, he helped out in those institutions. At first, he ran a room for hospital. Later on, he went out, you know, to the city, and then he had his own little house of divine providence, a hospital, but later on it became a really big, almost like a big village that looked after 7,000 people. You know, those who might be mentally handicapped, those who might be orphans, you know, the needy, the afflicted, 7,000 people looking after. And so he had that reliance on divine mercy. He also founded 14 religious communities, including some that is completely like contemplative, you know, prayer. The other one is active. So it's community like the Daughters of Compassion, like the Daughters of the Good Shepherd, like the Hermit of the Holy Rosary, and the Priest of the Holy Trinity. So those are the different communities that he founded. And then he relied on divine providence. As soon as money came to him, he spent it to anything that might be needed. And so he would say that people ask him, well, how do you get the income, the revenue? He say, Providence sent me everything. But he also learned that Providence might send bread today, but Providence might not send bread the same time tomorrow. So, you know, so rely on Providence mean to follow God's timetable, not our own timetable. Yeah. And then also he said, we progress as long as we possess nothing. We decline when we live on endowments. So even though the king proposed to him that the government can look after the expenses and stuff like that, he said that, you know, they are the institution, they are under the protection of divine providence. So, you know, the protection of the state is superficial. We don't need that. And before he died, he told the religious sister, when I am in heaven, where everything is possible, I will cling to the mantle of the Mother of God, and I will not turn my eyes from you. But do not forget that this poor old man has said to you. And so, and then there's another holy man, Niona. He had a spiritual crisis as youth, but he experienced the grace, the mercy of God by a general confession. And then he discovered his vocation to the priesthood. As a young priest, he helped St. John Bosco to direct a new oratory. Later on, he founded his own religious congregation of St. Joseph to form youth, especially the poorest and the most abandoned. And then eventually he also got canonized as a saint. Another saint is St. Luigi Oriani. And he was one of John Bosco's favorite students. So when he wanted to make a confession to John Bosco, he was so serious. He actually think about all the sin he could think about, you know, except to kill anybody, he would say, no, I didn't kill anybody. But he also even consulted the moral theological books, you know, to find out all the sin he could find out. He wrote like 3 notebooks of sin. So when it was his turn to go to confession, John Bosco had the prophetic gift. He said, give me your book, the first one. The other one too. Okay. And the other one too. And then the Bosco tore them all to pieces and say, you make a good confession already, from now on, don't even think about those kind of sins. And then among the things that John Bosco told him was, you know, John Bosco told him, we will always be friends. And that statement gave great comfort to Luigi, you know, late, even years later. Now, Luigi Orione, he found 2 religious community. One for men, the sons of divine providence, and one for women, the little missionary sister of charity. And again, like Codolengo, he relied heavily on divine providence, and amazing thing happened. No money, he can build big thing, you know. Don Bosco, we know that he had no money. I will talk about that later. But another Luigi is Saint Luigi Gunella. Again, he actually, as a young priest, he helped, he spent 3 years at the oratory helping John Bosco in order to gain experience. But John Bosco wanted him to stay, but he felt his vocation is to go back to his diocese. But he would say, being with John Bosco was to me like being in heaven. He found 2 religious congregations, the Daughters of St. Mary of Providence, and also Servants of Charity for men. Now, the nun in this parish, Sister Rhonda, belonged to the Daughters of St. Mary of Providence. And also when SPAD program, you know, the sister also belonged to that religious congregation. And so, and then also another Blessed Francesco, because of the urging of St. John Bosco, he received holy order, become a priest at the elderly age of 51. And then after that, he founded the religious order of St. Sita, which provide help for maids, for domestic servants, for unmarried mothers, for needy women. So he became a blessed later on, beatified by the church. And then there's also another a Polish prince that Don Bosco welcomed him to the Salesian order. He too later on became a blessed. So, as you see that, you know, Don Bosco do have a lot of people that he knew who eventually canonized or beatified in the last, I would say, 20 so years, they have been beatified, canonized, a lot of them by John Paul II, some by Benedict XVI, and so there have been close canonization and beatification. Tell us that at that time in Turin, there have been a lot of social problems, but also there have been a lot of people the saints inspire one another. Don Bosco at that time, he actually built the Basilica of St. Mary, the very help of Christians. In a dream, Our Lady let him know the exact location where the 3 martyrs of Turin were killed. And that place actually really close to his oratory. So he decided to build a church there to honor Our Lady, Mary Help of Christians. When he got the plan out, people thought that Don Bosco would be in trouble. He'll be in debt. He will be, you know, bankrupt, because it's just a big plan. But Don Bosco, he relied on divine providence. He relied on Our Lady. And so he performed many miracles. And people have received favor because of prayer to Our Lady Mary Help of Christians. And they were grateful. They gave him donation. Eventually, he was able to build the whole church. And then when they need supply, like for vestment, for surplus, stole, chalice, people donate item. The amazing thing was they didn't duplicate. Whatever needed, people donate an item. All supplied for. So, Don Bosco would say, every single stone of the church is a gift of Our Lady. Now, another church that is quite famous that Don Bosco built is the church of in Rome called the Church of the Sacred Heart. Now, actually, you can say that it was because of this project Don Bosco lived a bit shorter life. I think this project somehow killed him, you know. But now, let's trace back a little bit, you know. I think we can learn a bit about, you know, even the saints can make mistakes, and they pay heavily for their mistake. Don Bosco did make a big mistake. When the Bishop of Turin died, Pope Pius IX had to appoint a new Archbishop for Turin. He consulted Don Bosco. Now, Don Bosco at that time, you know, of course he relied on divine providence, but maybe he did confess later on, he maybe relied too much on friendship. So he got a friend who was a bishop. And so he recommended that man to be the Archbishop of Turin, thinking that he would help him, you know, to protect him, to help him with the Salesian order. That got the exactly opposite effect. So the Pope, a little bit at first of this hesitated because that man have a really explosive temper. But Don Bosco insists because he was his friend, he think it would be okay, so the Pope appointed him to be the Archbishop. And he asked Don Bosco to be the first one to inform the new Archbishop that he had been appointed and even hint to him something may come later on, that means you may get the red hat to be a cardinal. So Don Bosco went to see the bishop, he informed him of the appointment, but this man was extremely sensitive. When people knew about that he was being Don Bosco being consulted, he was hurt, he was unhappy. People might think that, you know, it was because of Don Bosco that he got appointed. So when he first came to the Turin, he would tell people openly in public, it's not anybody that made me appointed. It's God that appointed me here, you know. And so John Bosco tried to build up the friendship. He would talk to him. He wrote to him. And then in his writing, he thought that by mentioning that he helped him to become Bishop of Turin might help the friendship. But he was extremely sensitive. Those words just insult him even more. He took that extremely personally, even sent a letter to Rome to complain John Bosco. So from that time on, he was really cold to John Bosco, and also cold to the Salesian. And also another issue was the bishop himself thought, you know, John Bosco is good at training young people, but he is not good to train priests. I am the one who can train priests. I should be in charge of the Salesian. But John Bosco's idea is Salesian will be for the whole world, so Salesian should be under not the local bishop, but should be under the Pope, the Holy See. So the bishop wasn't happy. So he would look at the Salesian carefully. Whenever they make a little mistake, he make a big deal. And so it was becoming really bad, the situation, really, really bad. And then people, they take advantage, you know. People who doesn't like John Bosco, they would add oil into the situation. People in the Holy See were working against him. So John Bosco, you know, for some years, it was like purgatory for him. It was really bad, the situation between the bishop and the Salesian. So that's why because in the room there's one cardinal who really want to help Don Bosco. At that time, Pope Leo XIII had a big problem. They started to build the Basilica of Sacred Heart in Rome, but they couldn't raise enough money, and the project just stopped, couldn't pay the bill. And so now the cardinal, he got an idea, suggest to Pope Leo XIII, and trust the project to Don Bosco. He loved the Pope, he would do it for you, anything. And so the Pope expressed his wish to Don Bosco. Don Bosco, really obedient son of the church, it's the wish of the Pope, I will take it. And the Pope said, I have no money for you though, no money for you. But Don Bosco said, your blessing is enough, Holy Father. If you agree, we will build a school, Salesian school beside the church. He said, okay, you got my blessing. So it's a huge project, you know. The Salesian order was in debt at that time. To build that church actually will cost 2 million lira. In that time, it was a huge amount of money, you know. It's like a bottomless abyss. You just cannot raise that kind of money. So he went back to the Salesian headquarters. That kind of project, you need the approval of the council. So including John Bosco himself, there were 7 people in the meeting. Don Bosco told the council what's going on. So they talk among themselves, you know, yes, the Holy Father seems to, you know, it's an honor to do that, but we are just so in debt. So when they vote, you know, the vote was that 7 people, 1 for it, 6 against the project. And Don Bosco told the council, yes, you act right, you want to exercise prudence. But Don Bosco predicted, you know, but if we do that for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart will help us to build the church, the school, and pay up all our debt. And so, let's vote again. So they vote again, and then the next time, the 7 yes votes. They all agreed. So they carry out the project. But I can say this project actually shortened his life, because to raise the money, he had to go to France. The trip was really successful. People gave him banknotes, jewelry, gold, money, but it's like a bottomless abyss. Even that trip is not enough money. He had to go back again to raise money. He had to go to Spain to raise money. Even though he was getting weaker and weaker, no money, not enough money, he said, I have to go again, you know. And people, the citizen really worried, you know, are you going to die? So he made his will thinking he might die, but, you know, I have to go. There's no other choice. So this project actually, I think, shortened his life. And everybody think that, you know, it shortened his life. That's one pill from the Pope. Another pill because of the bishop was, because even after that, the relationship with the bishop is still really bad. He was always picking on John Bosco and the Salesian. And so eventually, the Pope Leo XIII had to intervene. Basically, write a really diplomatic letter to John Bosco, but in the accent is to ask him to send an apology to the Archbishop. So, you know, Don Bosco, he is not the kind of man who would, you hit the cheek, he turn the other one for you. He is not that kind of man. It's hard for him to do something like that. He took the pill, basically, from the Pope, wrote that letter. The bishop responded in a really short, say, okay, apology accepted. But that letter made Salesian become the laughing stock in the chancery office of the bishop office. And some of the Salesian superior were so embarrassed, they left the Salesian order. So it was a huge blow for John Bosco. And then after those two pills, people say, John Bosco only got his shadow left. He's no longer the same. He is much weaker. And so eventually, soon he died, you know, 72. So but after the second pill, Pope Leo XIII started to treat John Bosco extremely kind. And while he was traveling in France, the Archbishop died suddenly. He died on Easter Sunday, just, you know, people opened the room, he died on the floor of a heart attack. And so after he died, Pope Leo XIII appointed a cardinal to be the new bishop of Turin. And he told John Bosco, when I appoint him, I think about you. Because this new bishop is really a peaceful man. He is so nice to John Bosco. John Bosco wants to see him. You know, before that, the Archbishop won't see him. You know, he does keep a distance from John Bosco. But this one, John Bosco say, I want to see you. And then the bishop suddenly came to the oratory, say, to save your time, I'm coming to see you. You know, and then the boys know the bishop is here, so they got organized. The more the music bang, and so when the bishop came out of the room, they all, hooray, and then the music. And then he told John Bosco, you know, I thought I surprised you by coming here. You surprised me too, all the students here. So he was really kind to John Bosco. So the last few years was peaceful for John Bosco because of a really good bishop the Pope appointed, because the Pope also wanted to comfort John Bosco after all the you know, turmoil, you know, and of the previous archbishop. But you see that, you know, when John Bosco went to France and Spain and France again, it was something, though, the people saw him as the John Vianney of Italy. You know, John Vianney is France, right? But they see him as a John Vianney of Italy. So people actually crowd to see John Bosco. He's like a pop star. You know, people actually crowded to see him. And then there's lots of interesting things happened during those trips. You know, miracles happened. People came to him. And then one time John Bosco, you know, he was supposed to go to a building to see people. And people were lining up, and then when he came in, he said, okay, let me in. He said, no, I got number 1, I got number 2. Wait, no, line up.
And then saying they told the people, no, no, but if you don't let me, you can see John Bosco, I'm Don Bosco. And they say, you crazy guy, go away, go away, go away. And those three, he wasn't able to go to see the people, had to go somewhere else. You know, so it was really difficult. And then also people, they got instrument ready, they got a scissors ready. So they want to cut from his habit for relics. You know, they want to get relics from him. So he want to cut from his classic. So people were doing that, and John Bosco say, oh, not all the mad people are in the mad house. You know, crazy people around here. And then also, not only the people, but the seminarian too. You know, when they were sitting at table, there were four seminarians, they are serving as waiters. And so they conspire among themselves. We will divide the spoil, the spoon, the plate, the cup that Don Bosco used, we will all divide among ourselves, you know. And then also, you know, the seminarian, they follow him also all with scissors, they want to cut the hair or the rope. And so when Don Bosco looked at them, they were so scared, they didn't dare to do anything. But one of them actually cut something from Don Bosco. And Don Bosco told the rector at the seminary, oh, there's a thief around here. And then when he was in the room, you know, the bed sheet, the thing that he used, disappeared. You know, people just take them all away, you know. And then sometimes people cut the rope so bad, they need to give him new one. You know, then sometimes, you know, people, you know, he go to visit people, you know, when they gone, they give a different hat or different thing to wear, because the original one is taken away. You know, so it was just the people are so crazy about John Bosco. So he was raising funds, you know, in those countries, in France, in Spain. And then when he saw so many people, you know, so many work of the solution, you know, he say that it is all the work of Our Lady. You know, he think back 45 years ago, it all started with that one Hail Mary. I pray with that boy. That boy, you know, when he found him in the sacristy, right? That he started the work of the solution. So even though it was a tough project, you know, to build the basilica, he had to go to travel to raise the fund. But it was a comforting thing too that he was able to see the work, so many of the work bearing fruit, and so it was really something, you know, that he was seeing that. And so, later on, you know, next time we'll talk about that he actually, the consecration of the Basilica of the Sacred Heart, and also about his final years. And actually, it's next week already, because we are meeting today because of Legion of Mary meeting last week, so we switch. So that next week we get to the normal schedule of first and third Monday, so it's already next week we are having a meeting already. Yeah. So now Don Bosco also, you know, one time he got a dream. He got a dream. He dreamed as Saint Francis de Sales. Huh? So yesterday was the feast of Saint Francis de Sales. So in the year 1879. There's actually a dream. And in that dream, St. Francis de Sales gave him a book to read. And in that book, he got instruction how to deal with different things in the religious congregation, the Salesians. So for the novice, ask them to be obedient in all things. Obedient can obtain the blessing of God and the love of man. And then also, when this is hard work, you know, they can also protect against the snare of the devil. And then for the solution, for the religious, ask them to be careful to preserve chastity and also to defend the reputation of the religious, and also to give glory to the religious congregation. And then for the superiors, for the rectors, it's like the head of the house, religious house, ask them to really observe the constitution
of the religious order, and have people observe the constitution. He said, because the religious is consecrated to God, dedicated to God through the constitution. And then for the superiors, and ask them, you know, to sacrifice themselves, sacrifice oneself, so that themselves and their subject will be going toward God. And then Don Bosco also asked, you know, how can I promote vocation? And then if the solution will give good example, kind to the young people, encourage them to receive communion frequently, then you will have many vocations. And then he say, when I pick the novice, what should I be watch out for? He say, you know, to get those who are greedy or glutton or greedy, I don't know what that means in English, but in also in a lazy one, don't let them in. You know, I'm doing a Chinese translation, instant translation. And then before they take the vow, what should I watch out for? Make sure they can perseverance in chastity. And then to make sure, you know, that in our congregation, in the house, there is a good spirit, what should we do? And then say, you know, the superior should communicate with one another, visit one another, accept and treat all the religious well. And then how about the missionary work? What should I do? And then only to send out those who can be stable in the virtue of chastity. If you have doubt about somebody's conduct, take the person back. And also to promote local vocation. And then he also asked, is our religious congregation on the right road? So he say, those who are good, holy, will become more holy. Those who are slack, will just go slack, won't go anywhere. Just go backward. And only those who will perseverance can be saved. And then is our congregation going to expand? And they say, as long as the superior is doing their duty, it will expand. Nobody can stop it. Is our congregation then we going to have a long life? Yes, as long as the religious want to work and have moderation, the congregation will continue to spread, continue to live. But if one of those pillars is gone, the whole building will collapse. And then at that point, Don Bosco saw four people taking in a coffin. And then Don Bosco asking Francis, what is that for? Who is that for? For you. And then Don Bosco say, what time? You don't need to ask that. Only know you have to die too. And then using this coffin, what do you want to tell me? When you are on earth, make your spiritual son to do what you want them to do after you die. And that is what you will live, that your testimony to your spiritual son. But you must ready and practice and then give it to them. And then the Bosco say, is our future going to be rose or thorn? And then Francis de Sales answer, a lot of roses and consolation, but also sharp thorn. And you will feel pain and sorrow. You have to pray much. Are we going to open the house in Rome? Yes, but don't be too hurry. Everything have to do it with prudence, and wise. Is my life going to finish soon? Don't worry about that. You have to rule another book. So practice what you want other people to do. Be alert. And so at that time, Don Bosco wanted to ask more questions. But later on, certainly, you know, he saw there was lightning and lightning of the noise, you know, and then also he saw some kind of monster get to him, want to attack him, and then it was all dark, and then didn't see anything. He thought he was going to die, and he was crying, and then he woke up. It was 4:45 in the morning. So, it was a pretty interesting dream that Bosco had, that he saw St. Francis de Sales. So Don Bosco do have different dreams and also a lot of other many other miracles that he did. But next time we will focusing on his final day, his final years, and that will be the end. And then we will and then after that we will move on, start our series on Saint Faustina for this year of mercy.